three unique personalities all gathered around one table. Gospel Music Squire Parsons, Karen Beck, and Susan Wisnett today.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
I love getting together some friends and just sharing conversation of life and where God's taken us and even the funny moments. And today we've got some wonderful people. Honestly, there's four of us around the table. Two Georgians and two Carolinians, okay? If my math is correct, welcome Karen Peck, Squire Parsons, and Susan Wisnett. It's good to have you all here.
Hey there.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
We're thrilled.
It is an honor to be with you and to be with
you. Absolutely.
These beautiful ladies.
That's right. Squire, you and I don't stand a chance.
Hey, it's already. My wife has taught me very well that If there is an argument that arises, that I might as well just throw in the towel at the beginning and save myself a lot of trouble.
That's smart thinking. Somebody needs to tell Jeff that.
it takes you all a while to train us fellas, you know.
It takes a while, but it sounds like she's done a good job, doesn't it, Susan?
Absolutely. Absolutely. She's got her stuff together. That's awesome.
That's right.
She's a sweet lady.
It's good to hear your voice. We're so glad you're doing well.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen.
Absolutely. We've been praying for you. I know all the groups in the industry have really prayed for God's healing for you. And so just to be on this program with you and hear you sounding great, oh, it just blesses my heart. I mean that.
Well,
absolutely.
Thank you.
I'm the same way.
Perhaps this would be a good time. Just go ahead and tell you what the Lord has done. Of course, it's been a few years since I was diagnosed with the CML, the chronic myeloid leukemia, and they told me there was no cure for it, and they said it was too old to have the bone marrow work and all like that. And I said, well, thanks a lot. That's starting out with a great blessing. Already in my age. But anyway, the oral chemo pill they put me on has kept it in a holding pattern. That's what it was supposed to do. So I was just thankful for that. But that during the last checkup in January, lab work came back, and the physician's assistant came in. She said, Squire, good news this time. There's no sign of the CML in your blood work.
So, wow.
So I'm certainly thankful for all those prayers.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord for that. God answers prayer.
I don't
sure
want to be
does.
Presumptuous because, but I am praising the Lord for the good news, but I'm still on the chemo, and they did not mention anything about remission. So hopefully if that might be the scenario as it unfolds, I believe, you know, God's able to change this thing around.
Well, we're believing with you, Squire.
And absolutely.
And God can do anything, and nothing's too hard for him. So.
And may I say that I'll just get out of the way here. I'm just giving the praise report that I am feeling the best that probably I have felt since the diagnosis and before, of course, when I was sick. So so I am feeling much better. However, there are days that I am down, but I thank the Lord that there are more good days than bad days now. So there I am.
That's Squire Parsons. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends together with Karen Peck and also Susan Wisnett.
All right. Would you make welcome my brother, Squire Parsons.
Thank you so much. Many times I'm asked, Squire, that's the way a lot of people say it. Why do you sing gospel music? Quite a few years ago, I put my answer into a song. This song would have to be my testimony through the years. I've been singing about my Lord for many years. I've sung when I've been happy. I've sung when I've had fears. Now some folks they've even questioned if it's all been just a show. Well, the reason that I'm still singing, friend, I'd like the world to know, I sing because there's an empty grave. I sing because there's a power that says, I sing because His grace is real to me. Oh, I sing because I am not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home where I shall sing through all eternity. Can you say amen to that? Friend, I've sung to those walking through the fiery trials. I've watched saddened faces as they turned into happy smiles. But I've had to bow my head and whisper, oh Lord, do the same for me. Friend, I'm glad that I can tell you, my Lord has given victory. For I sing because there's an empty grave. I sing because there's a power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. Someday I'm going home where I shall sing through all eternity. What a Savior! I sing because I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home where I shall sing through all eternity.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with Karen Peck, Squire Parsons, and Susan Wisnett.
I'd like to also say something about you. You've always been so consistent and always been such a blessing in our industry. You are a bright light in our world. And I remember something you said, this has been a long time ago, and I've quoted it many times, and I loved it, when you were talking about how you pictured yourself up on the ladder, and you're just in this life, and you're climbing the ladder, and just sometimes you just like to stop halfway and just kind of enjoy the view. And I love that because, you know, no, in other words, no matter where we are in our lives, let's see the good.
Yeah.
And let's enjoy this time of our lives. And you have been such a blessing to me, and I've quoted that many times. We need to just stop and enjoy the view.
Yeah, I'm glad that was just off the cuff, you know. Whenever I plan on trying to make a statement, you know, it usually blows up my face. But anyway, I'm honored, and I certainly, I guess, as you get older, you realize that, hey, you know, you know, we can be so busy and trying to do good things or working on a career or whatever the Lord opens up.
Yeah.
And without, sorry to take up so much time, but I'm thinking about, you know, as we're nearing the Easter day, resurrection day of celebration for the Christian church, I think about one of the commentators I was reading, what he had to say, is talking about taking time to enjoy and taking time to, you know, to try to be a blessing each day. And he said, you realize sometimes we maybe set goals, and our goals may not be what God would have our lives to be, you know, in that direction of just setting goals. He said, remember this. If there was anyone that had a goal, it was the Lord Jesus.
Hmm.
And that, of course, being the cross and dying, the death, then the burial, the resurrection. If there was anyone that had a goal, he could have said, well, that's what I'm doing. But he pointed out, he said, as you are going, he said, do you notice that he took the time the night before he was arrested as the disciples were meeting together? He took the time, of course, even before that, to heal, to share the glorious gospel. He took the time to work with the disciples, and he even took the time the night before, knowing what was waiting, he took the time to wash the disciples' feet.
I love that.
He could have, if there's anyone that could have been so consumed with the ultimate goal, it was Christ. But again, we're going up the ladder. We need to just slow down a little bit as we're going.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't mean to cut back on maybe what you feel God will have you do. But don't forget, we've got work to do as we are pursuing our goal. So praise the Lord for that. He took the time. I think we need to take the time, too.
That is so good.
Absolutely. I think sometimes we measure blessings. And we get so busy that it's just like you said, just as we're climbing, stop and look back and realize that the mere fact that he woke us up this morning, gave us our first air that we took when we woke up, that it's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're all blessed. If we're breathing, we're blessed. And we've all got a job to do, and you got to refresh. I have to. When I climb up that ladder, I have to just stop and say, God, I got to slow down here.
Mm-hmm.
And just remind myself of what it is I'm doing, why I'm doing it. And the main goal is to see people encouraged and changed. And in the meantime, change me. Work in my heart, too. That's good, Squire.
Well, I was thinking of Karen and I were talking about her children, the ages. And, you know, I'm thinking back to, I'm a little bit older than you all. And then also, Susan, whenever we did a concert together not too long ago. I so enjoyed your son's participation of that. And I thought about it, and I was thinking that is a time right there where there's so much going on in a family, you can miss so much because it's going by so fast.
And I was telling them the other day, you know, when I was in school, it was like a day or a month. If I had something I was looking forward to, that week took a month, it seemed like, to get there. Or that month took a year. That's how it seemed. My kids, and Karen, you're the same, our kids are living our life. And I feel like it's passing them by fast. But you know what? It is such an honor to watch my kids and Karen's kids, you know, get on that stage and want to see people's lives changed. I mean, they're not just doing it because we're doing it. They're doing it because they realize they get to, and what an honor it is to be able to stand before people and proclaim the name of Christ and to encourage them in their walk. And they have become, my boys have become such a big part of our ministry. Honestly, I couldn't imagine doing it without them. And, you know, it was my prayer, God, when they, you know, Austin's going to be 19 or 20 in June. And I thought, Lord, when they get to the age to where they can make up their own mind about what it is they want to do, I pray that you will instill in them the desire to do this with us and continue as a family. And you know what? They have. It's so funny because every week they'll come and say, what time's the bus leaving this week? You know, it's never been, we don't want to go. We don't want to go. We're going to go do this.
Yeah.
We're going to go. It's always, when's the bus rolling?
That is so good. And you know, I couldn't help but thinking of the scripture that says, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. And I believe as these young men and young ladies, that's my desire, is we can to involve them in our services, and that once they get the taste of not just gospel music, but the taste of serving the Lord. And like you all testified, leading someone to Christ, once they have that taste in their mouth, they'll realize that there's nothing in this world that can come close to that. And
nothing compares.
Not necessarily to try to push
them
in this direction. But,
you know, I think that it's, I mean, Susan, you put that so well. you know, when our kids live our callings their whole lives, I mean, they don't have a choice when they're babies. They have to go with them. And it is wonderful to watch your kids accept Jesus as their Savior, to be saved, and then to clip the wings, and then as they get older, you have to let them fly. You have to let them walk in their calling. And I'm like you, to see my kids want to serve God and want to serve the Lord and want to be in church when we're home. And it just absolutely, it just blows my mind at the goodness of the Lord. And I mean, I just say thank you, God. You know, when your kids love the Lord, and even when we're home on Wednesday night, if I don't go to church, my kids are ready to go. The first week I came home from the road, and I was so tired, and we had come in on Wednesday morning, and Carrie said, Matthew was already going, and so Carrie said, Mom, are we going to church? And I said, Carrie, I don't know. Do you want to just stay home, or do you want to go? She said, Mom, let's just go. So we, you know, and it just blesses my heart. You know,
I got home last night. I had to go to a funeral yesterday, and my kids and Jeff, they're having a men's Bible study at our church. You know, Jeff texted and said, the three of us are going to the Bible study, so we'll see you when you get home. And I want to say this, something else that puts things in perspective, and it's just like what you were saying with Carrie. About 8 or 9 months ago, we were on a 12-day run. I was absolutely dragging on about the 8th or 9th day. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
And we always gather in the front lounge to pray before we ever leave the bus. And we've done that our whole entire ministry, and we've never stopped doing it. But this particular time, Ethan, my little 16-year-old, I'm telling you, he's got such a heart for God. But we were gathering around to pray, and Ethan said, can I say something? And I said, yeah. He said, guys, I know we're tired. We've been on the road 9 days. Y'all, we've got to get our focus back on what it is we're doing and to realize that God's let us do this and God's going to bless us. Let's refresh and realize what it is we're doing when we go in there.
Oh, my goodness.
And it just puts everything in perspective.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I mean, you know.
For a 16-year-old to be telling you that,
yes.
You know, it kind of makes you ashamed a little bit.
And that's the voice of Susan Wisnett. We've got Squire Parsons and Karen Beck also around the table today. And you're listening to Daniel Britton Friends.
I marvel just to think of all God's done for me. My cup is overflowing, living life abundantly. I used to pray for blessings, now the blessings chasing me. Me. What a wonderful life.
What a wonderful life.
My sin has been washed away. What a glorious feeling. All of my wrongs have been erased. What a great joy and peace I find. Knowing I'm His and He is mine. And that He is with me all the time. What a wonderful life. God is on your side. Odds may be against you, but God can turn the tide. What the devil sends to harm you are just blessings in disguise. All things work for good. What a wonderful life. What a wonderful life. All your sin has been washed away. What a glorious feeling.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with Karen Peck, Squire Parsons, and Susan Wisnett.
Hey, wow. Let me ask y'all, okay, we've all kind of grown up in this industry together and have known each other for many, many years. Let me ask you this. Do y'all get a little bit more tired than normal these days as we get older?
The old, oh, my word. And, Squire, I'm sure Jeff Wisnett will book us twice on Sunday if he can breathe. And it used to be that it didn't bother me at all. And I'm telling you, by the time we hit Sunday night, I have to just really remind myself, you know, we get to do this. And,
absolutely.
I feel like
it's
I'm dragging.
To do it. It really is. But I will say this. I'm finding myself on Mondays. I'm absolutely exhausted.
I don't want to do nothing.
I'm telling you, but the work has to be done. The office has to be done. We have to do laundry and on Mondays but yes, you're right. We get to, and we're honored to be able to get to do this. I'm reminded of the scripture of Ecclesiastes 7:10. It's my favorite right now, and it says it's not wise to say that you've seen your better days because your best days are ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And we all know that heaven is the final destination. If we're all saved, we know that we will be in heaven one day. And, of course, that's the final goal. But there's a lot of living to do between now and heaven. And so, and that's the main thing. And I keep reminding myself, there's a lot of living to do between now and heaven. We've got to do all we can to get people saved. And, you know, but
absolutely.
I'm finding myself as I get older, that I don't travel as well as I used to. I never get tired of the singing. I never get tired of the ministering to the people. And but, boy, I do get tired.
Oh,
I'm with you.
And not to try to play the pitiful here, but especially if you have another sickness to hit you.
Yeah.
I bless your heart.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what makes the sacrifice even more special, to see that, you know, when it says that obedience is better than sacrifice, you're being obedient to the Lord and doing what He's called you to do regardless of your circumstances. What a great, great example you are to us.
Well, not just me, but there have been many people in our industry who have come through battling of cancer, and you know, I'm thinking of quite a few right now, and there's a lot of people out here, and they're going through the same thing, and whatever it might be. But yes, the hours are longer, but you know, there's a good tiredness, there's a rest wherein the weary may rest, and that is when you know you're trying to do the right thing.
Uh-huh.
That sure makes the pillow that much more soft to lay your head on when you get home. May I say something here that some folks may be listening to us, and God has blessed you all so well with your family and your children, and I praise God for that. We tried to raise ours up too, and I had my boys on the road with me. There may be some people out there they do everything that they know to do and try to do, but they still have children that go away from the Lord. And that's so heartbreaking. I know we have had that situation in our home, you know, praying that they know the Lord. But by the way, some of their lives are going at times, excuse me for laughing, but I mean, you know, kids will be kids.
And, that's right.
And sometimes they do not react the way that we think they should react. Neither did we as we were growing up in our parents' eyes. But what I wanted to bring up here was there may be some folks out there who have some wayward children, and they've done everything by the book. But at this point, they are away possibly from the Lord. But I believe that in their mind, that seed has been planted. And they, we agree right now together, the three of us and Daniel, also that those children, or adult children, whatever, grandchildren, that we're claiming them for the Lord, and they are coming home to the Lord. Now, God may have to do some things in their life, but I just want to take a moment to let the folks know that we've got our problems too, just like they do. And right now, I've Susan and Karen, I was just thinking I just pray God's hand will be upon your children, and you never have to have the heartache of seeing them go a different direction. First thing that went through my mind on some occasions of, well, I'm just going to quit. I don't feel like I ought to get up in front of people, you know, I tried to do my best, but obviously I didn't know what I was doing. And discouragement, and why is it the first thing goes through your mind, well, I'll quit, you know? You know, you're in spiritual warfare. But the Lord showed me this. He said, now you know what the people are going through that you're singing to. They've been, as you have tried to minister to people, they've had maybe a heartache about their children not turning out the way that you wanted to, that they wanted them to turn out. And, you know, perhaps you'll have a little bit more compassion. And even with the sickness, whatever it be, cancer or whatever, there's many a separation or there's so much, you know, we have to sometimes go through those situations before we understand what the people are going through that we're singing to.
Well, you know that saying is you never know what a person's going through until you walk a mile in their shoes.
Yeah.
And you have a lot more compassion when you've been down that road.
That's Karen Peck of Karen Peck in New River. We've also got Susan Wiston here from the Wistons and Squire Parsons.
One night upon the sea, a ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every hand, angry winds around it blow. All on board were filled with pride as the mighty billows roll. Then they called upon the one who the winds and waves control. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey. To them be still. What man is this? They all did say that the winds and sea obey. He's the one who sails with me. Oh, he's still the master of the sea. The storms of life may rage, mighty billows round you roll. When he can calm life's troubled sea, oh, as he did in days of old. And as upon life's sea you sail, why don't you trust in him? Never ever fail. I'm so glad he sails with me. Oh, he's still the master of the sea. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey. To them be still. What man is this? They all did say that the winds and sea obey. He's the one who sails with me. Oh, he's still the master of the sea. He's the one who sails. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with Karen Peck, Squire Parsons, and Susan Wisnett.
One thing, Karen, you know, so I've thought about this. What used to be, after the service was over, after the concert was over, well, I was looking for something to do. Then I had all that energy, you know. Now I just crawl back to the bus.
I know.
I wish people could see how fast we go to the bus and put our bedclothes on.
Yeah.
And oh, my goodness. I mean, it's like, and let me ask y'all. I used to couldn't wait to get on the bus so I could sleep, and I'm getting to where I don't sleep as well. You know, it's like I go through spells. One night I'll sleep, the next night I don't. The next night I'll sleep, the next night I don't. And it's just, you know, no rhyme or reason to that sleeping pattern.
Oh, no.
I guess that's just
I'm
the
there,
noise
Karen.
Of getting older.
I am there.
Yeah.
I'm there.
I admire you ladies for bringing your families on the road. Now, my wife, Linda, she does not like to travel. And because she's not involved in the music, you know, it's not much fun just sitting looking for the inside of a bus.
People, yeah.
You know, she has right. Stood by the stuff here at home. But I admire you folks who have taken your families with you. That's certainly, God bless that, and it's a blessing to the people.
We've been very blessed, that's for sure.
Yes, we have.
And you've got a grandbaby now, don't you?
Who, me?
Yes.
Oh, I've got eight.
Oh, you've got eight grandbabies. Oh, you've got a new one, though, that just came,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and a new one on the way, Samuel and Leah.
Great.
Who travel with me. Sam is my youngest. Uh-huh. And, you know, I used to tell them when they first started, I said, you don't have to sing. I just need you to help me. And I said, well, I want you to realize something. Just by you being there at your age is a testimony to young people.
Oh, yeah.
And when other young people see you there, that is a consolation to them and makes them feel more a part of it. But Samuel has, and that kid, I couldn't do nothing with him. I mean, he'd be all over the church while I was singing or whatever. And and now he's in charge. He's my right-hand man.
That is so great.
It's so scary.
Taking
COVID, but they are expecting their first child, and I'm so excited for them, and they are too. But Samuel, we had a lot of folks praying for Samuel, and God has certainly done a work in his heart, and he's blessed. And my other children too, they're doing well. Seth is a pastor in West Virginia, however. He's looking for a day job right now. Lost his other job, so we're going through that with him. Then also, I have two daughters, and one works at the hospital here in Asheville. And then my other daughter, she is a nurse, and she also does some writing too. The McCamey's done a few of her songs.
Wow.
That is
When Faith Steps In.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that one? They is one they did, and Lee Clay.
Wow, that's great.
She wrote that. But,
wow.
I know, you're so proud.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just so thankful. But folks out there, we're going through the same stuff. Daniel, you have children?
Yeah, I've got three. I've got an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and 2-year-old at the time of this taping. But, you know, a couple days ago, I talked to Reggie and Lady Love Smith, and they were going through a period, especially Reggie. He said, I was just really struggling. We were over in, I think, Norway, and had their son with them. And kind of thinking, you know, he's probably ready just to have a normal childhood. And so he started kind of feeling guilty and was carrying around this guilt. This is Reggie. And Reggie said, I kind of pulled him aside and said, you know, tomorrow, son, we're going home. Aren't you excited to go back to your house and go back to your room and your friends and your activities? And he looked at Reggie and said, Dad, this has been the most amazing trip of my life. And it really just affirmed to Reggie. He says, you know what? No more guilt. This is a calling God's put. And this is our family. And this is what our family is and does. And we're in this thing together.
That's right.
That is fantastic.
I remember my boy saying, Dad, I wish, you know, wish you were home for this, wish you were home for that. And, of course, at that time I traveled Thursday through Sunday, mostly. And I said, son, and my wife knows, I said, I am one phone call away. You all have the power. If you need me, I will be there just as soon as I can get the bus turned around or whatever. I just want you to know, you do have that power. Because, you know, I believe family, God ordained that first. But I said, this is a ministry, and there's no serving the Lord, Karen's already mentioned, without sacrifice. And this is a part of your sacrifice at this point. But you've got to remember, I said, now, how many cruises have you been on? I said, did you enjoy those cruises? I said, you know, at Christmas time or Thanksgiving, that time, I said, you know, does the rest of your friends get a whole week of, you know, we go to my home, and I said, we go hunting up in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you, rest of your friends able to do that? I said, Christmas time, usually I have 2.5 weeks off, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, we have those special times. I said, truly, there are things that you have to forfeit, but I said, you need to look around at what God's allowed you to do that possibly your other friends would just love to do.
That's right.
And, you know, I thank the Lord that they, Linda, you played my songs for them at night, and they, you know, not like, I said, honey, don't do that. Let them listen to what they want to listen. And she said, they do want to listen. That's how they feel that you are there.
Wow.
They listen to your songs at night, of which she, you know, she started that.
Wow.
You know, sometimes as even the children are climbing the ladder, Karen, we have to try to remember them, remind them, rather, to look around. You know, they just get to comparing lives, as we have been guilty of, you know, comparing it to somebody else. I love to play ball. I love cars. I love car shows.
Yeah.
And then I collect old guns, antiques, and all like that. Love that. But you see, all of that is going on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I've thought about that so many times. And like I've told them, I said, you know what? I've just had to tell the Lord, when you stop giving me songs and people quit asking me to come and sing, Lord, then I'll do these other things.
Wondrous grace. This is Daniel Britton, friends.
I used to worry about the troubles and the problems that this life always seemed to throw my way. But all of them together can't compare to the promise that's gonna be made real in me someday. And my redemption has been sealed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the reason for the joy that's in my heart and on my face. And His Spirit has revealed who I was and who I am. Now I know I'll never live again in that lonely place, back there on the other side of grace. For every sinner that has turned to the Savior, humbly bowed and called upon His name, ask them now if they'd ever want to change it, and their reply will always be the same. And my redemption has been sealed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the reason for the joy that's in my heart and on my face. And His Spirit has revealed who I was and who I am. Now I know I'll never the joy that's in my heart and on my face. And His Spirit has revealed who I was and who I am. Now I know I'll never live again in that lonely place, back there on the other side of grace. On the other side of grace.
You're listening to Daniel Britton Friends with Karen Peck, Squire Parsons, and Susan Wisnett. You know, I think as we all get older, isn't it something we find true? We don't notice this as kids so much, but as we all get older, it becomes more and more about gratitude. And it's kind of what Karen talked about. It's living life to the fullest, or stopping to smell the roses and to realize exactly what you have. I think the Bible speaks of it. Count your blessings, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I just thank the Lord for allowing me to be in this ministry. I mean, I remember as I grew up, I didn't know people did this for a living. I mean, I went to a few concerts and I asked questions. They just go from here to there, you know, It was so far, I didn't know any professional people. I was not brought up in that circle. And I look back now and I think, God, I just thank you for your goodness of letting me be involved in a ministry that I have just thoroughly been blessed to be a part of. I mean, it's still overwhelming to me. And to see how now, my generation, I'm kind of one ahead of you all, and to see, once again, I'm just very impressed about you involved in your children, but also your all's work, how you are speaking to people your age now and who identify with your style of music and all. And it just thrills my heart that God has not only allowed me to be a part of it, but to witness a great work. I think gospel music has been, that's what I try to tell people, it is a gift from God for the church.
It really is. And, you know, the thing is, you know, I can look back on my life and I can see, and I know all of you can say the same thing. And when I think about how God just orchestrated all of this, I cannot begin to tell you how thankful I am. I was sharing not long ago about just, you know, when I was in high school and I was 16 years old. And Susan, my sister Susan and I, we sang in a girls' trio. And we sang at those old camp meetings every summer, you know, the tent revivals when it's 110 degrees outside, you know. And it just thinking of just those great memories back then and you know, grandma shouting the pins out of their hair and, you know, and experiencing revival and and singing at those places and singing at churches around home, but had no idea that I could do this for a living. Had no idea. And but I'll never forget when I was 16 years old, I had gone to a concert at my high school. My mom and my sister Susan and one of the girls that was in our trio, and we heard the Hoppers. And at this time, all of the you know, the other girls that I sang with, my sister and the other girl, had gone off to college, and they were doing different things and didn't want to sing anymore. But so I wasn't really doing anything for the Lord. And I remember that night when I heard the Hoppers, I rededicated my life to the Lord. And I said, Lord, if you ever give me a chance to sing again, I'll never stop. Mm. And I haven't stopped. And, you know, there was a promoter that night that heard the Joyful Trio was there and are part of them. And so we sang, Susan and I sang at the halftime after the break and booked us on a concert. We got our trio back together and opened for the Lefevers, which a year later turned into the Rex Neyland Singers. And the rest is history. But it's just amazing, those squires. When you say, when you talk about it, how you never thought that you would be able to do this for a living. I never dreamed in a million years that God would have done this. And so for those that are listening, you know, we just want to be an encouragement to you and to let you know that dreams do come true.
Yeah.
Dreams come true for hometown people, you know, for hometown
Karen,
women, hometown
boys. Thinking.
And you just keep dreaming those dreams, because I believe that God places those dreams in your hearts and in your mind. And if you pray, the Bible says you pray as the Spirit wills. And, you know, and you just pray, God, this is my desire, but I want your will more than my will. But I pray that this, you know, I pray that this will be your will. And, you know, and if it is His will, it will come to pass.
like the Daniel Britt and Friends page on Facebook, tweet at Britt and Friends on Twitter, or simply visit the full site at danielbritt.com.
Some people think that today, if heaven you would see, you must belong to their one church or be lost eternally. But according to God's word, what he's still looking for is what he finds within your heart, not what's over the door. It is not what's over the door of the church that you attend that makes you a child of God and a heavenly citizen. As the eyes of the Lord look this world over, there's just one thing he's looking for. Can't you see that it's what's in your heart, not what's over the door? Does Jesus live in your heart? Have you been born again? Has the blood of Calvary's Lamb washed away your sin? Are you fully trusting in the crucified risen Lord? Can't you see that it's what's in your heart and not what's over the door? It is not what's over the door of the church that you attend that makes you a child of God and a heavenly citizen. As the eyes of the Lord look to this world, oh, there's just one thing he's looking for. Can't you see that it's what's in your heart and not what's over the door? It is not what's over the door of the church that you attend that makes you a child of God and a heavenly citizen. As the eyes of the Lord look to this world, oh, there's just one thing he's looking for. To see that it's what's in your heart
and not what's over the door.
It is not what's over the door of the church that you attend that makes you a child of God and a heavenly citizen. As the eyes of the Lord look at this world, oh, there's just one thing he's looking for.
See that it's what's in your heart and not what's over the door.
Today's conversation, so good with Karen Peck, Squire Parsons, and Susan Wisnett. We're going to put a bookmark here and come back next time and have more, of course, the great music of Squire, Susan, and Karen. And it's going to be next week. Next time here on Daniel Britt and Friends. In the meantime, let's hear from you on Facebook and Twitter. Look it up at Britt and Friends. And that's online at danielbritt.com. See you back here next time.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.